So there is no what it says in the papers this morning on RT Radio 1, but we are going to bring you a short review of the papers this week anyway, and I'm joined in studio to do this with Rachel Martin, the farming editor of the Irish Examiner, and Pat O'Toole from the Irish Farmers Journal. You're both very welcome to studio. Thanks for coming in. And you've been looking at the Farming Independent. I have made you look at all the other newspapers and obviously your own. But to come to you first, Rachel, you had your opinion piece, your editorial this week about the straw incorporation.
Now, this has been covered everywhere, so it's not just the farm exam, although I'm slightly biased on that one. But yes, there's been a lot of debate and anger over the last couple of weeks about the straw incorporation measure. So for those who maybe don't know what that is basically where farmers, tillage farmers, are paid to plough the stalk of the grain into the ground. And the idea is that it improves the nutrient composition of the soil. It improves the soil health. But the flip side of that, so it's good for the environment in one respect, but in another respect, then the flip side of that is it means then there's less straw for livestock farmers to use. So it's very much a story that you can take from any angle, because everybody's very annoyed about this, and everybody's got a different reason to be annoyed as well. And poor Charlie finds himself stuck right in the middle of it, the agriculture minister, because of course, didn't he decide to pull the measure this year because there's suspected to be a shortage of straw? Then that got hit with really, really bad response from the tillage farmers, who quite rightly were very annoyed that something they'd signed up to in good faith had suddenly been pulled. And of course, then the livestock farmers are going, but hang on, we still need straw. So the latest outcome of this has basically been that the straw implementation measure will now go ahead. And additionally, there's going to be a payment for tillage farmers of €175 per hectare for baling straw. So it kind of gives everybody the best of both worlds now. But my opinion piece this week was actually saying, well, look, I actually think we're missing a bit of a trick here with this, because we can still get the best of both worlds here. And I put the headline on it where there's muck, there's opportunity, and here's why. And if you haven't read it already, it's on the Irish Examiner website,
and there are other websites. But I guess look, the minister isn't here to defend himself. I guess he was thinking of the terrible weather this year, and that livestock farmers in particular are looking for straw. But I mean, like, full disclosure, Patty, you are a tillage farmer. I imagine there might be some straw either being baled or being ploughed into your fields. What's your take on the whole situation? Because it's only been 2.5 weeks, but the fallout from it is unbelievable, because it's essentially the minister first of all said he's pulling the straw incorporation measure, then he's done this U-turn now where tillage farmers are up in arms and suddenly getting paid now to bale straw. It's been a strange couple of weeks.
It has. I think what he's done in the end is might have made more sense at the start, where he's incentivizing farmers to pull out of the straw incorporation measure and alleviate the potential shortage of bedding, because straw is not fodder. It was talked about as a fodder crisis, but straw is not fodder, it's bedding. Being a Wexford tillage farmer, I think the big issue is that before the straw incorporation scheme, we were left with straw, unwanted straw, more often than not. It's a surplus product in our area. But a lot of people had already started incorporating straw before the scheme came in.
And it's a surplus product for you in the east. I mean, for farmers in the west, it is
absolutely
not.
Absolutely. So, but when there's a deficit, the deficit's in the northwest. When there's a surplus, it's in the southeast, and our straw is practically worthless when it's baled. But I think the other side of this was the sense that the minister pulling the scheme when he did undermined the integrity of all schemes, because farmers signed up in May. Some farmers had already started chopping, and that the sense was too late. So what he's done, I suppose, he's pleased nobody. And you have, you know, people you had Richie Hackett in the Farming Independent, who is an advisor, saying that the flaw is that it's damaging the relationship between sectors and it's interfering in the market. Siobhan Walsh in the Farming Independent, quoting a former TD, Tom Barry, who was saying that he cannot believe what the Minister of the Department promised anymore after this.
Why did he do it? Why do you think the minister did it?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. It was out of character for the minister, because very typically he will build build support for a measure before he brings it in, and he'll also create the expectation it's coming. This is a bolt from the blue.
Rachel, do you want to come in there?
No, I have been speaking to a lot of farmers who say that down in Cork, who say that they have been having to import straw from as far as England, just to
and
meet
we
supply.
Don't want that because of
exactly comes to the risk of black grass, of course. But there are nutritive benefits to using straw as part of a dairy diet, for example. You know, it helps prevent acidosis, for example. You know, so I don't think that's quite right to say there's no benefit to feeding straw. It can
that's
be
used a dairy
as
farm putting you in your place there.
It can be used as part of a total mixed ration, and in fact, it's during times off of water shortage, straw actually mixing in straw to use as a buffer feed is one of the first things any nutritionalist advise a farmer does to stretch out their straw.
Straw's important, and it's been a strange turn of events, but we are where we are now. I guess moving on then, Pat, you wanted to bring up Antashka, which has been back in the courts, and it was on the front page of the Farming Independent this week as well.
Yeah, and it's across all the papers, I suppose. Antashka bringing the government to court over the nitrates action plan, the nitrates directive. They believe that it breaches the government's commitments towards the environment. It's not protecting water quality enough. It would have huge implications for agriculture. And the IFA and the ICMSA are both notice parties, although the government are the defendants, I suppose, in this case.
So the two main farming organisations.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this, it's now being referred to the European Union's Court of Justice by Mr Justice Richard Humphreys in the High Court this week. So it's going to the next stage. And an interesting quote.
That's Pat's alarm. That's telling him he's meant to be here.
An interesting quote from him where he said, "We're at a cumulative total in the case of 209,423 words, longer than Crime and Punishment, but falling short of J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix." There, the analogy with great literature ends, except perhaps for the punishment part. And I suppose the big fear among farmers with the punishment will come on them in terms of the loss of the derogation, which is an essential part of the nitrates directive. And we heard so much about the nitrates derogation, which is about stocking rates and how many animals you can carry on land. So that case will run and run.
And it is interesting. It's a great line from Richard Humphreys, but it does go to show that there is so much, I guess, emotions. Emotions are running very high in terms of the nitrates derogation among the rural communities. But Antashka aren't here, and I'm just going to give what they have said in the Farming Independent. And it's Dr. Elaine McGough, who's the head of advocacy for Antashka. And she does say, "We cannot leave any stone unturned to protect and maintain its quality in relation to water quality." She's talking there. Rachel, you're obviously reporting from Cork. Cork has the highest number of dairy farmers, obviously the highest number of farmers
it's
with
it's
a derogation
people's livelihood
as well.
At the end of the day. So of course they're going to feel very annoyed about this. They're going to feel very vexed about this whenever, you know, these proposals have gone through rounds and rounds of consultation, and then after it's even been approved by the European Commission to then be dragged into court, you know, you can see why there's just this real feeling of frustration. This has been a long ongoing issue.
Okay.
And the farm organisations, Amy Ford quotes in the Farmers Journal, she quotes Dennis Drennan, welcoming the court's fair and balanced consideration of farmer concerns. He's the ICMSA president, and the IFA president, Francie Gorman, just said that the case adds further uncertainty to farmers, particularly those in derogation.
Yes, but I there are again two sides to this, and water quality is incredibly important, and Ireland's water quality is not where it should be. I think we can both all agree on that. Very quickly then, you both have an Olympic story, I think. So Pat, do you want to go first with your Olympic story? It's from a local newspaper, which is always good to have.
Yeah, the Southern Star wonderfully have, and I suppose being the West Cork paper, the home of rowing, a man from who lives in Aquista, a 99-year-old man, Patrick Skeen Catling, who as a young boy in London was sent by his parents to Berlin to attend the 1936 Olympics and saw Hitler meeting Jesse Owens in the stadium. So a phenomenal story there in the week that's in it. From someone who's lived in West Cork for the last 50 years.
Of course it is. And Rachel, what do you have?
Well, I don't normally go to the Guardian sports pages for my farming news, but this one, I just thought the headline was far too good to miss. So it's not an oaf, which for those who maybe don't have it right in front of them, it's a play on the French word for egg, of course. So not an oaf. And the story is that catering staff at the Olympic Village in Paris have apparently been forced to ration eggs. Can you believe it? it. I love a good egg for breakfast. And apparently it is the breakfast of Olympians as well, because, you know what it's like trying to feed, say, 10, 15 silage guys coming around to do the work, let alone 15,000 athletes. You can imagine how much protein you need
for them.
They're
all sticking boiled eggs in their pockets.
They must be, but apparently they don't have nearly enough. And the catering partner have said that they've had very exceptionally high demand for certain products, such as grilled meats and eggs. So they're looking for those lean proteins.
They should have foreseen that. But Pat O'Toole from the Farmers Journal and Rachel Martin from Farm Examiner, thank you both very much for coming in.